The reading this morning before the lesson will be from Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38. It reads, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him."
Good morning. I think sometimes it's by way of explanation. It's good for to let people know why you're preaching on the subject that you're preaching on. The other night we had a visitor here at the congregation, and Wednesday night, and on Wednesday night, as we do on Sunday morning and also on Sunday evening, we extend an invitation to obey the gospel. And he made a comment that, you know, what does that even mean? And, you know, I gave him, you know, the explanation that I gave him on that evening, you know, talking about from the day of Pentecost on in the book of Acts, Acts being a history of the early church. But we encounter people from time to time who ask about or who wonder at our doctrine or the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You know, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Christ taught and his apostles taught a doctrine, and we attempt to teach it here through the Word. And I think, you know, I've given lessons before on, you know, what church do you, are you a member of? And trying to come up with some, you know, shortened, quicker response, you know, without mumbling and, you know, coming up with some long, you know, explanation of what church I belong to, the church that's depicted in the Bible. And that's the most succinct way I can put it. The Bible Church, that's the church that I attend. It's a church of and by the authority of Christ. And with regard to, you know, teaching on, you know, the subject of baptism, I gave what I thought was a good response, but it was long, and it was, and I saw a phrase, I hadn't read it, what exactly it was on a publication in one of the congregations that we attend when we're in Florida. I think it's Plant City. And the question, the title was, why'd they stop the chariot? Or why did the eunuch stop the chariot? And in Acts chapter 8, we see many of the different things that are erroneously taught on, corrected by this account of the baptism of the eunuch. It says in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8:26 of Acts, it says, "But an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. The same is desert. And he arose and went, and behold..." I think I'm stopping right there. I think it's interesting there that they're going down to a desert region. And we're talking about an account of baptism. But "And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Understandest thou what thou hast readest? And he said, How can I, except someone shall guide me? And he besought Philip to come and to sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. His generation, who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this, of himself or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, Behold, here is water, and what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. Went on his way rejoicing there. We talked on an aside, but we talked an awful lot about peace and joy and its promise from the Bible. But the point here is that he commanded the chariot to stand still. If what they were about to do was unnecessary, why did the eunuch stop the chariot? And has it occurred to you that some of the things that people preach today are true? Would have been, what they were about to do would have been entirely unnecessary. So why stop the chariot? Many believe that just being a good and honest person is all that it takes. Let's think a little bit about what it was that the eunuch was. He was a man of Ethiopia, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure. He must have been a man of some level of integrity. He was the guy that was in charge of all of her treasure. It says that he was of great authority. So, he was trusted. He must have been a man of integrity. He must have been a man who was able to bear up under the burden that he was given. I mean, this was a grave and great position that he held. If being a person of integrity, if being a person of trust, if being, you know, a hard worker, of being somebody of good judgment was all that is required in this life to be pleasing to God, why did he stop the chariot? Let's think about this too. Some people think that all you need to be is very religious. Okay? Let's think about where it was that the eunuch was coming from. He was coming from Ethiopia. I don't know, what is that, about 1,000 miles that he was traveling? He was going there to worship. He was definitely religious. We're going to get to this in a second, but he was reading scripture. Okay? He was making that travel to keep some sort of level of devotion to God. He had some level of devotion. So he had to have been religious. Some people believe that that's all you need to be. Some people think that all you need to do is read the scriptures. Well, that's what it was that he was doing. He was both religious. He was devout. He was reading the scriptures. He wasn't keeping it to himself either. Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? He wasn't reading it to himself. He was reading it aloud. Okay? I don't know. Maybe he was surrounded with a lot of people who believed as he did, or maybe he was not. He was reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. He was devout. He was very religious. He was reading the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's turn back there if we can. Isaiah 53. 28-34. We read a lot, but I think it's appropriate to read it. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed, starting there in verse 1, who hath believed our message? And to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we see him there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As one of whom the men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. This is what it was that the eunuch was reading. Surely he hath borne our griefs and has carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with all his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. As a lamb that is led to slaughter, and as sheep before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? Powerful. Okay, he didn't just read it. Apparently it struck him. Okay. So he was religious. He was devout. He was reading his scriptures. Some people think that all those characteristics are all that we need. If those are all that we need, why did he stop the chariot? Okay. Some people think that just hearing a preacher is what saves us. 1 Corinthians, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Turning back to Acts in chapter 8. Acts in chapter 8. Eunuch answered Philip, verse 34, said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou of this, the prophet, or of himself, or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Apparently, the eunuch heard what it was that Philip was teaching him. We have another element here of our salvation, hearing, okay, being devout, being sincere. You know, we some people think that sincerity is enough. Okay, could we describe the eunuch as somebody who was sincere prior to his being baptized? Could we describe Paul in his life before the road to Damascus as somebody being sincere? Yeah, sincere to the point of persecuting the church. Hauling men away, holding the coats while they stoned Stephen. If being religious, if being sincere, if reading the scriptures, if hearing a preacher is all that's required for us to be saved, why did the eunuch command the chariot to stop? Why did he stop a chariot? If having faith is enough, if having or being justified by faith is enough, why did he stop the chariot? Did he have a level of faith before? Of course he did. It says, verse 35, pick up the reading. And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And they went on the way, and they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And the commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water. Okay. Apparently believed what it was that he was being taught. Okay. If thou believest... Okay. Apparently, he had a level of belief. Okay. If the sinner's prayer is all that one needs in order to say, in order to be saved, why did he stop the chariot? Okay. Some teach what's called the sinner's prayer. Lord, I confess you my sins. I accept you in my heart as my personal Savior. Why was it necessary to stop the chariot if that's all? He had heard. He had had some belief, some level of belief. Why did he stop the chariot? If pouring or sprinkling is sufficient, we're going to get into that on Wednesday nights. Why stop the chariot? It says in verse 38, commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. If doing that pouring or sprinkling, we get down into the, you know, what the words are that are used in the Bible for immersion and so on and so forth on Wednesday night. Clearly, this is one of the most, telling versions of baptism and what it entailed. They needed water. They needed immersion, and that's what it is that they did. If that was unnecessary, why did the Philip or why did the eunuch stop the chariot? Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I wanted to find some passages on the brevity of life. This being a good one, okay? When you search around in the scripture, you find also other ancillary, beneficial verse 2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. We find other good stuff. Verse 3, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's vexation is heavier than both. In searching for scripture on the brevity of life, I've found two pretty good exhortations needful for me at the same time. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke in chapter 12. Says, start reading in verse 16. It says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have not where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my grain and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou foolish one, this night is thy soul required of thee. And the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Kind of reminds you a little bit of the eunuch, right? But the eunuch understood that this rich man didn't understand the brevity of life and the urgency of that which is needful before God. And that might have been why he stopped the chariot. Something that you might have thought of when I started talking on the brevity of life is the reading from James. James and 4. James 4, starting in verse 13. Come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. Whereas you know not what what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For ye are a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. But now ye glory in your vauntings. All such glorying is evil. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Life is short and it's uncertain, and we treat it like it's long and it's certain sometimes. We also forget the value of our own soul. You would turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. It says, Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? This is a passage where Jesus teaches us unequivocally what is valuable in this life. It's our soul. The Bible also reminds us about the judgment. In Acts in chapter 24, we don't see as many sermons. Maybe I should take that up. Acts in chapter 24. It says in verse 24, but after a certain days, Felix came with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. Let's see. Verse 25, and he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Felix was terrified and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What is it that he preached on? Faith in Christ, righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Life is short and it's uncertain. And the thing of greatest value that we have is our soul, because we're going to give it back before God in judgment. We have a need to obey. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews in chapter 5. It says in verse 8, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. Life is short. Our soul is the most valuable thing that we have. We're going to stand before God in judgment, and we must obey him in order to be pleasing to him. So, the eunuch understood those things, and he understood the urgency of the situation. That's why it is that he stopped the chariot. Because it's not enough to be a good, honest person or religious. Or it's not enough just to read the scriptures. It's not enough to come and just hear what the preacher has to say. It's not enough to have faith in and of itself. We are saved by faith through grace. Okay? It's not enough just to be baptized either. It's not enough to say a sinner's prayer. and sprinkling and pouring is insufficient. In light of all those things, the eunuch understood. He also understood the urgency of the situation, and that's why it is that he stopped the chariot. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would, read with me in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And I like to read starting in the previous chapter, verse 20. So really, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "We are ambassadors therefore on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with him, we entreat also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, for he saith, at an acceptable time I hearkened unto thee, and in a day of salvation did I succor thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That's why, and that's what the eunuch understood, is the urgency of the situation and the necessity of what it was that he was about to do. The lesson is yours this morning. And we offer forth an invitation. If there's anyone who has a spiritual need this morning, whether you've been lowered in that watery grave or not, we afford you an opportunity to do that. We offer you an opportunity, if you understand the urgency and the brevity of life, maybe you've got sin in your life and you'd like to, prayers of those to help you, those who gathered here this morning to help you overcome that sin, please understand the urgency of doing that. Behold, now is the day, now is the time. If you have a spiritual need, make it known by coming forward while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.